Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Nathan's going to join us at 3:10.
Oh, okay. That's cool. How is Paul doing today?
Dude, I'm doing great. Yet again, I'm on that alpha brain shit, and I'm just like making decisions all day. I'm doing three things right now. I got the dishes going. I got the laundry going, which I mistimed, actually, because... It's gonna finish like a half hour into this episode, so Sydney's got to go up and get it. So I did screw that up, but I edited content. I did a podcast this morning with Joe. That went really well. That was actually one of our best episodes, and I would actually like to think it's because he wasn't just carrying it. I was able to contribute, and now I'm drinking ginger tea, motherfucker. What are you doing with your non kombucha having ass?
Bro, I'm just over here thinking I'm feeling sorry for your, like, premature load. Talk about some problems. Man, I'm
premature laundry load. That's what's up.
I'm fighting YouTube actively right now. Well, not YouTube in general, but you know, not like TikTok, but just the comment sections.
You have been... Okay, so for everybody listening, Keith has been having some problems with social media lately. Care to elaborate?
Well, I mean, if you consider like 300 and some thousand views in 2 days, like problems on YouTube, you know, that's not the worst, but it's just TikTok and it's utter bullshit. I am so tired of it. It's just, I'm starting to sweat right now thinking about it. I just felt my blood pressure rise to the occasion, you know, like I do with every adverse situation, but man, I've been banned off of TikTok for probably 20 times now, at least. And I cannot believe they keep letting me come back. And I feel like they're just toying with me at this point.
Well, have you ever thought that you deserve bad things that happen to you? No, I'm kidding.
What? Never. Oh, my God. Such a silly question.
Yeah, I mean, maybe social media karma is just saying like, hey, this is a white man and they've taken enough Chinese things. And that's what TikTok is.
Well, I mean, Paul, if we're going to talk, I mean, what is white culture other than appropriation?
We have nothing except the Irish.
The fighting Irish. I got that in my blood. TikTok knows all about it.
Yep. All white people have is Irish people. All that is it. They have never wanted to appropriate, just want to get hammered alone. And this whole new thing, who are the people getting offended by Irish people? Like the whole St. Patrick's Day thing?
Oh, yeah.
I've never met a single Irish person that gets upset that St. Patrick's Day is like the Irish American holiday. And yet, you see online, it's all these people that are getting offended. Who are the people getting offended?
Italians? I think that's classic big offense.
We don't care.
Yeah, classic big offense move. You know, nobody really knows anymore what they believe, so they have to wait for someone to tell them what they're offended by, and then they act.
Exactly.
It's so sad.
I don't know what topics you got for... I don't know what questions that you got prepared for this week, but or for today. But mine get into it. Mine are ready.
Mine get kind of, into it. It's pretty philosophical.
So you're going the philosophical route? I like how my brand of comedy is not, like, no thought experiment whatsoever.
It's what really would you call yours?
It includes some thought. My whole idea is dumbing down complicated concepts and trying to like unify the people. That's my entire point in comedy. But I feel increasingly somehow our podcast has become me being the slapstick moron and you got these deep down philosophical shit. like bro, my questions this week are dumb as hell. They're thinkers, but they're so dumb. And you're like, well, I prepared some philosophy for this week.
I've got some Nietzsche right here, ready to go. It's like, who is God and how did we? Who is God and how did we kill him?
Hey, God.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I need you to guide the masses real quick. Somebody keeps calling me. It's Nathan. Okay. I got to text him real quick.
Okay, you're good.
There's nobody here anyways.
I know. It's all good. So, this is Keith Burr's Improv Hour. How is everybody doing? I'm doing. That's how I'm doing. I'm just doing. Pretty much, you know, I heard someone say that I had to be cold because my hair is blue, my last name is Burr. And I was like, no, motherfucker, I'm one of the warmest people that you could ever meet. Like, I'm uncomfortably warm. I don't understand boundaries is what I'm trying to get to. You know, Paul's trying to pretty much, you know, socialize me, like bring me into the world, because there's no way I'm ready to come to LA at this point, like, you know, with this mindset that I have. But I think it's a great mindset. It just needs a little bit of tweaking. You know, and tweaking, I love tweaking. It's one of my favorite things. Like, I'll look out a window for 4 hours just having a blast. Like, paranoia is fun sometimes, but, you know, how much is too much paranoia? You know, I'm not unscrewing light. Okay.
Okay. That was motivational, everything that you just did. I'm actually really impressed.
Did you like that?
Yeah, that was 2 minutes of absolute nonsense, and it was inspiring. I didn't know that. I thought it would take longer than 2 minutes to go down a dark, dreary road of an odyssey-like parable of nothing. And that was fantastic. Buddy. I'm really happy it happened. All right, so we got Nathan Lowe in the audience. We're pulling him up right now. And as we're pulling him up, I'm going to do the intro to the show.
All right.
All right, he's pulling up. Welcome to Cross Examination, the very serious interview show where we ask the most wayward stereo travelers the most important questions on the internet. We record this podcast live on the Stereo app, but we'd also like to thank our listeners on Spotify and iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure to leave a review so we can continue pouring this sexy, guzzling cacophony into your ears once a week. With that, I'm Paul Ober.
And I'm Keith Burr.
And this is the podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. If you're listening on stereo, his avatar is a lie. He's a stand-up comedian. He's been a stand-up comedian for years. He opens up for Jeff Dye. You can see him all over Los Angeles, Southern California. Please welcome, and he's one of my buddies, Nathan Lowe.
Yay! Fanfare. Just so there isn't any confusion, I opened and middled for Jeff Dye once.
I haven't seen him. John Dye.
Over the pandemic, we were, you know, it was a good, nice show as Vegas. He's a good buddy of mine. We do a lot of stuff together. I consider him a very close friend. But, I mean, you know, Randy Valerio, another good buddy of mine, he's his official opener and feature right now. He's traveling around with him.
Hey, that's okay. Cool.
I thought I said opened.
I'm just saying you got to be you know, you got to be respectful of the feature, you know?
Oh, of course. I thought, yeah, but did I make it seem like you always open for him? I'm just trying to ruin your career. That was the entire point.
Jeff Dye's opener. It seemed like it kind of implied that I was attached to his hip and like knew his, like, you know, first dog's name or whatever.
You don't know his first dog's name?
It's Fido.
No, I don't have access to his accounts like that. That's like a pure opener thing.
Oh, okay.
That's shit, your next
I must follow,
stuff.
I must follow him too closely for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Like, mother's maiden name. I got the bank codes.
Blood types, whatnot, you know. The important stuff.
Hell yeah. I'm excited to be here. I learned a little bit about Paul's show from him. Keith, I don't know who the fuck you are, man. Is your hair really blue?
You know, I'm colorblind. That's up to you.
His hair is not blue.
I mean, you're also an avatar on my phone right now, so it's really up to you, right?
Yeah, on the color wheel, I did pick the one that said blue, so thank God it worked out. Nothing lied to me on that one.
I was hurrying to make an account, so I just hit all the basic settings, so I kind of look like Cuba Gooding Jr. right now.
At least it's not radio Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, I've never been this tan before. My emoji's very tan. If you're listening, I don't look like that at all.
His emoji, for everybody, he just said Cuba Gooding Jr. and it looks nothing like that. He looks like a potentially Spanish person wearing headphones that aren't on his ears for some reason. Other than that,
kind of a little bit of
people's ears are up there, man. Like.
Just a racially ambiguous guy that doesn't know how to wear headphones. I like it.
He's yeah, from that episode of South Park where there were no more races and everybody was like just blobs, basically. He's an avatar.
It's hard to tell people this. I never really got into South Park.
Oh, man. What? It's okay.
It's hard. It's like telling people that you never watched The Wire or something. It's like I've seen several episodes. I do find it funny, but much like, you know, professional football or, you know, basketball, it's like I'll watch it if it's on, but I'm not going to go out of my way.
Well, you won me back with the not caring about professional sports. That's for sure. Because, you know, screw that.
Oh, I love everybody sports. Knows that I worked in the professional sports world forever. But when it comes to like team sports and shit like that, it's like we're rivalries don't exist. That's just something the fans make up. I like the physical feats of what they do. But when it comes down to like, this is my team and fuck everybody else, like I don't subscribe to it.
I subscribe so heavily to it that it's a joke. But, you know, I mean, we can live in different universes. That's fine. I live in a universe where when the Red Sox face the Yankees, I like to throw peanuts on Yankees fans if they're below me in a different section. And you can live in a world where you want to go drink with the dudes. It's fine. We can exist.
Absolutely. I'm not suffering under any delusions that you and I aren't living in different worlds. I mean, you're bi.
That's one toe in and one toe out of the water of your universe, dude. Although I am fully escaping it.
I don't know. I feel like it's a little more than a toe when you're engaged, bro.
Yeah, I'm like I say, you know, I'm bisexual like a homeless person has a GED. I'm not getting that job anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All right, so sorry, before I get all into that, what's the point? What is this show? What are we doing?
Hey, so this is Cross-Examination. That was like a little bit of a warm-up so that the viewers and listeners know who you are. They get you. And now we're going to be asking you some insane questions and seeing where it leads us.
Okay.
Keith is having some issues with his connection. So I'll just get right into it. And we'll edit out all the bullshit.
Oh, we're not live. Right.
First question. this will ease into it. If you could switch genders for a day, if you had the option to, would you? And what would you do?
So would I be? I get to pick. Would I get to pick who I am?
Nope, it's you. You turn into a different gender. I suppose you can choose what.
Oh
you
no,
look
hard
like.
Pass. I'm not going to try to start a new gender from scratch.
No, I'm not talking about like, oh, this one has penises on its elbows, but some fun downstairs. No, I'm talking if you, so you are a guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you could go to the opposite, which is a girl for a day, you just have the option. 24 hours.
I would say,
would you do it?
No, thank you.
Why not?
Because everything that I've learned about being a girl pretty much tells me that it's a pain.
Elaborate.
What, you got to wake up, you got to put a different face on your face so that people recognize your face, and then you got to worry about weird Game of Thrones stuff between girls that say that they're your friends, but they're not really your friends, and their advice isn't really in your best interests, and you got to go to a workplace where if they're not trying to fire you, they're trying to fuck you. It just seems terrible. Like, I love them to death. They're the most beautiful creatures on the planet, but I would much rather army crawl through, you know, stained glass than be a woman.
You're exactly right. But even if it wasn't stained glass, it would be by the time I got through it. Because
that was the question. Like, yeah, when you initially asked, like, if I could pick the celebrity I would be or a specific woman, I might want to try on those shoes for a day. But as far as just now, bare bones, not happening.
Okay. No. Viewers, if you could switch genders for a day, would you and what would you do? That was Nathan's answer. Keith, that was the question. He said absolutely not. He would crawl army style through stained glass that was broken instead of do that.
Man, I would have to try out being a chick for a day. I mean, just because I know that I would be left with the overwhelming just like question of like, you know, what is it like? You know, I mean, because and you're right.
But I feel like you can't unring that bell, dude.
No, I feel like being a man would be ruined for me after that.
Why? Because you would just realize how shitty men in this world are, that they're just the fucking worst.
Yeah, I mean, that, and also, like, I feel like I would be one of those, like, real hot messes. Like, you know, I wouldn't go through all of the, like, rigors of getting up and putting on, like, a face and a good attitude and stuff like he would. He's a better person than me is what I'm gathering from that, but,
I heartily disagree. I just want to play with my own boobs. Being a woman for a day isn't going to enlighten you to the fact that men are pieces of shit. We are, but we also built all this stuff.
Yeah. And so, plus, you know, there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance whenever it comes to that. Like, you know, guys, we all know, I think everyone knows that they're terrible inside that's a guy, but the ones that I guess really don't think that are the psychopaths you got to really worry about.
Well, I think the real problem is that men are told every day to recognize how terrible they're capable of being, while the female population is told every day that they're a queen regardless of what they do.
Yeah, and which is exactly why
guy, I saw a post yesterday on Instagram. Some girls, like, if a guy's treating you badly, they just haven't fixed the parts of themselves yet that would make them be deserving of you. And that just seems really cocky.
Ooh, that was a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, seems hey, super I mean,
that's cocky. That's the opposite side that we're not really talking about right now, is that if you do decide to be the girl for 24 hours, you do get treated like royalty regardless of what you do. You do get that moment of being, of getting Yas Queen back into your life.
If you're an ugly woman, yeah, you got it.
No, you get to, no, Keith, the idea is that you can be, you can look exactly how you want to. So if you wanted to be the hottest girl in the entire world, you could be. Just for 24 hours.
How do I look like father issues? Because that's what I tend to go for.
A Bella Danger. That's how you do that.
I mean, she's a sweetheart.
She is a sweetheart, yeah. But she, no, well, I mean, she's made jokes about daddy issues. And the only reason I know about that is KFC.
Hey.
Barstool Sports Radio? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you really think about it, it's even if I was the hottest girl in the world, I don't think I'd want that. I wouldn't want everyone that I saw, like men, just sweaty, old, you know. They gonna be thinking about putting a member of theirs into my torso.
Now, if you got like a lineman, or if you got like a, you know, a wide receiver, you got a professional basketball player, something like that. That's one thing. But yeah, like the 80-year-old's cat calling you, that it would be.
I feel like you're a little biased.
I would just avoid every main street.
Yeah, I feel like you might be a little biased because you're already a receiver, Paul. And
I am a tight end. You did.
Paul's a multi-tool.
I don't know. I mean, we're not that close of friends. We don't need to know about your butthole fitness.
You brought it up, bro.
He's a Swiss Army knife of fuck.
I get it.
My butthole comes up. It's not because I brought it up. It seems wherever I go, my butthole is in question, and I will not stand for it. I will sit down.
What's the next question?
My next question is
how did we get
so centered on stink wrinkles?
Yeah, right?
He brought it
all on his balloon knot.
Oh, look at that. Did you see?
If, like, me and my wife swapped roles, I would want to try it because I'd want to see how she views the world through a woman's eyes and her eyes. And I want her to experience kind of through mine. So it would be more like a body switch than a sex switch. But I'd be for it if it was my wife.
I feel you. Did you just drop into a tunnel? Sorry, the audio just got weird. Like, you're thinking like a Freaky Friday situation.
Yeah, he just changed my answer. I actually have to go with, I'd be Cheyenne for a second. My beautiful, forgiving, loving, caring, better than me girlfriend, because I just want to see how she really views me.
Yeah, well, if I don't get to be Jennifer Aniston, you don't get to be Cheyenne, bro. That's...
You can look exactly like Jennifer Aniston, and like for 24 hours, how wrong could that really go?
I can't wait for that question.
How about this one? Are you a hunter? Or are you a gatherer?
Oh, hunter.
It doesn't take too long.
Have you ever
long.
Been hunting?
Plenty. Yeah, I have hunted quite a bit. My grandfather was actually he was the hunter for the entire town of Jackson, Mississippi. So he was a tracker. He was in the war, and then in Jackson, Mississippi, when anyone wanted game meat, or if they lost game meat that they had shot, he would track it over miles and miles. The guy just had walls of deer heads. I have people think that it's disrespectful, but I think the people that are hunters for considerable amounts of time are much more aware of life than people who are not.
Yeah,
like that, like people who, you know, vegans, vegetarians, stuff like that, you don't actually have a connection with the land like someone that has actually put themselves back into, you know, the hierarchy, put themselves back into the food chain.
This is a fun little fantasize.
I fantasize about living a life where like I'm a vegan, or like a vegetarian or wherever it is, but I eat meat, but only if I go out and kill it.
Oh, that's dope.
I feel like that would be living life on hard mode. And it's like, okay, so I would be a vegetarian for a while, but it's just like people talking about hamburgers around me for too long after a week. I throw the camo on and go kill some shit. But
yeah, I feel like if you're in hard mode, you shouldn't be around people who are talking about hamburgers. You're already in a zombie apocalypse.
I have a question. Like, what is it about people that are vegetarians and vegans that they want all of the food that they eat to taste and look like meat, but not be meat?
Oh, it denies. Denial.
Denial?
Yeah.
I think it is denial of, like, what humans are, for sure. Yeah, I understand that, like, you want to respect life.
I want and need these things. And your body's like, I really need them. And then you, as a human, I'm going to trick my brain into that this is chicken. And your brain's going, well, it fucking isn't, though.
It's your human nature coming through, like, in spite of you.
Right.
I have a delicate relationship with that whole concept too, because like people always talk about like human nature and like what it is, but it's also human nature to like question those things and act against it.
That
on steroids. It's called operative defiant disorder.
It's a
okay. Like that was given to you by a judge and a jury, or what was
that? Oh, no, yeah, just
were you legally
my psychologist?
All right,
I can't be my own psychologist. That's a
how much community service was involved in that?
Oh, in man, oh, nothing. No, I live in one of those towns where you can be like, hey, judge, you throw this up now.
That sounds like part of your disorder.
Yeah, that probably sounded a little bit like a. That's the problem.
Privilege.
And the judge says, no, you have to have this.
I'm like, yes, you were my left. You were my lawyer. No, I know you.
Put it comes to shove, there's no scenario where I'm not going to meet.
I agree. So figuring out that I was allergic to gluten involved a month of going completely vegan. And it was one of the most miserable months of my entire fucking life. Sid did it with me for like 3 out of the 4 weeks. Like he couldn't even fucking last it. He was just trying to be nice.
I can attest. I'm allergic to ghosts.
Me too.
We're already talking about being allergic to fake shit.
Ghosts and bullshit.
You know, I only like to talk about abortions around campfires because they're technically ghost stories.
Oh, shit.
Never thought I'd be pro-abortion, but by God, I'm getting pretty good at it now. So, you know, I guess I can consider myself.
You're an abortion doctor?
Actually, I think that if absorbing my twin in utero makes me like the youngest person to abort something, then I guess that's me. But that's
you're like a freelancer.
Yeah, you know, like abortion esquire.
I feel you.
I don't feel you. That's over my head so much. I have no idea where abortion and esquire come together. Is that a magazine?
Well, I mean, the idea doesn't have to be fully cooked, and I think that's the point.
Hey, we did it. All right, next question. If you could have any job, this one's not as funny. It's more of a thoughtful thing. If you could have any job that's not comedy, what would it be and why?
I don't know, a ghostwriter for a comedian.
Say that again?
A ghostwriter for a comedian.
A ghostwriter.
Well, the mental gymnastics. Okay. I love it.
All right, so take comedy out of it completely. If comedy wasn't even a thing, wasn't on the table, take that part away from you. What would you do? Kind of like, I want to be in the NHL, but my knees don't work, So I physically can't.
I
don't know. Maybe you would have to have a mental disorder.
I don't have things holding me back like you do. I could really do anything.
Nathan walks in a room and everybody's like, fuck, just the privilege of knees.
Oh, see, now it looks like I'm an asshole. I was being over the top.
You two over there with
he's actually humble.
No, that was the first thing I noticed about you. Like, for a long time,
I would probably, if I had no other option, do that. But just teach people how to live their lives better. Same kind of things that, you know, hopefully we do with stand-up. Hopefully people, you know, stress out a little less, like a little more.
We're worry alleviators. If I was to do anything that didn't have anything to do with comedy, probably be Carlos Mencia.
Oh, you would just be Carlos Mencia. Got it, yeah. he's super successful. He's definitely got a market of people that have money.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of freaks me out when people say, like, do I find whatever, you know, insert terrible comic name here. Do I find them funny? No. Is it up to me? No. It's up to the audience. So, like, people saying, like, this comic's hack, that one's like, it's fucking not up to you. It's up to the audience.
I totally agree with that. It's like, if somebody's succeeding as well, there's really no reason to get pissed off at that, because success is not like somebody else's success is not in your way when it comes to art. And stand-up comedy is an art just like paintings are. Just because you're not Van Gogh doesn't mean that you can't sell out that art thing the weekend after somebody else sold it. The whole point of like Kevin Hart selling out stadiums, people being like, oh, but Kevin Hart isn't that funny. He's not that great of a writer. Just shut the fuck up, and you could sell out the same stadium the next weekend.
Yeah, well, comics who are writers and energy comics. So someone like that has definitely, like, you could see someone like Steven Wright or someone like Seinfeld, you can tell, like, they are craftsmen of word economy. But then you can see someone like, you know, D'Elia or even Eddie Murphy or someone like that. Like, they have perfected the art of getting the audience to think the way they think for a certain amount of time. It's like, it's low level mind control.
And it's hypnotism. Weird.
You can watch it on a computer or on TV and not laugh a peep. But you, when you're there in person, you can't even remember what the fucking jokes were you're laughing so hard. It's a different art form.
I think it's the audience mostly too, because, you know, you feed off of the energy of the people around you, and, you know, people don't want to be left out. Like, if everyone around you is laughing, then you don't want to be the odd one out sitting there like,
I don't know. I humbly disagree. I feel like it's your job to get the audience on your side.
Oh yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, it's on the comedian to get the crowd laughing, but you know, they want to laugh too. They're nervous as well because they came there to laugh and they want to, but you know, you have to work a certain extent and do a good enough job to get them there.
Yeah. I think the big difference is a lot of people think that it's like, okay, how do I adapt to different audiences and stuff like that? It's more like, how do you get different audiences to get where you are? You want them to be. Like,
if I have a concept that I'm trying to get across, but I know that the audience is polarizingly in the opposite direction, I will do a few jokes that match with their worldview. Mm-hmm. Them laughing, getting them thinking along that track, and then I'll use the same structure to completely turn that argument on its head. Gets the audience, instead of like shock comics who just say the opposite of what people think, and half of the people uncomfortably laugh and the other half of the people are in their head trying to decide why that guy is a shit instead of listening to your next joke. If you can have them in your line of thinking and then use that same structure to show them that their worldview might be silly, then you can have a conversation. And the only way to get someone to change their mind about anything is to get them to laugh about their own opinion.
It's so important to do that. That's the number one thing. When I performed in Huntington Beach, I got to start with the gay stuff completely different than I do if I'm going up into LA.
When you come up to the microphone?
Yeah. When I shove the microphone deep in my thoughts.
Oh, man. You switched from the mouth?
What?
I like the mouth better, but
I'm sorry. Let Paul finish.
Deep in my mouth.
Oh no, you can finish. I'm right here.
Okay, it's deep in when I come up to the mic when I come to the mic. When I come, Mike, when I come.
Cool. Could you say it slower and in a Spanish accent?
Mi cuatro mangana mira.
Accent, no language. We're in fucking America, Paul.
I just got canceled.
No way.
You can't, dude. You're gay. You're fucking cancel proof.
Dude, no, being bi is cancel proof. I'm not allowed to piss off anybody. I try.
What the fuck are you talking about, man? You're like a care bear that fucks.
Yeah.
Which and is, it's like, funny.
There's
too.
A community for that. I found it.
Nah, dude, you're in the sweet spot. You literally can do no wrong.
You're in the golden cock zone.
The only benefit you're, unless you say the N word, and then you're good. Huh?
If I was biracial, then I think I would be 100 million percent uncancelable.
You can't be bi and biracial. That's a double negative.
It just cancels out, and I just become Italian.
How do we make it a triple negative? Because that makes it okay again.
what's the next question?
I gotta say, okay, between two superpowers, okay, between teleportation and being able to live forever, which one would you pick? And the live forever, you can be killed.
Oh, definitely teleportation. I have no interest in living forever. That seems, you know, like you saw how Dorian Gray ended up. It's never good. You always end up resenting. So teleportation, like jumper, the best thing in the world. Like being able to travel anywhere that you've seen, you know, that's
exactly. Dude, yeah, these people that pick flying as a superpower, I'm like, you guys are fucking amateurs. Come on.
Teleportation. Fucking buy a ticket.
Right?
If you're any good at teleportation whatsoever, you can technically just fly that way. It would be
even if you're bad at teleportation, you're doing better.
I feel like you could practice. It's like, oh no, I found myself in the women's locker room. That's a high school thing to say. Shit, I'm better than that.
Yeah, that wasn't an accident. I was in that locker room for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. I walked in there. I was trying to teleport out before they saw.
They invited me.
I teleported in there, and I might teleport out. We're just going to see how the day goes.
It's like,
where would you teleport? Where would the number one place in the world that you can teleport right now? You only get one teleportation there and back. That's it. Where would you go right now?
The good Where's Halle Berry right now?
Where's just are you just wherever Halle Berry is, just teleport there and be like, whoa.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say whoa. I'd act casual. You
just
know.
Wound up at Billy Bob Thornton's dick.
Hey man, don't bring Billy into
one
movie.
Yeah, Monsters Ball.
I can't believe that, like, Billy Bob Thornton was the fat guy in the first scene of Tombstone, and then now he's with Halle Berry. Like, it just blows my mind. You know, Hollywood's a great town.
It infuriates me.
Oh, don't
it inspires a lot of people, and that's what Hollywood's about, is hope.
Is it?
Kind of.
Really? I thought that it was kind of the opposite. That's where you stomp out a lot of dreams, too.
Yeah, what? It's mostly about chlamydia.
Everybody makes it. Everyone gets chlamydia. Wait, what?
Chlamydia is the clap, right?
Paul just outed himself for chlamydia.
Not again.
Does it burn when you're sick?
Oh, twice. Paul just outed himself for having two cases of chlamydia.
You know what's funny about that? Back
what
in high school,
it's a disease, Paul.
Bro,
let's give him a sitting ovation. That's what the clap is.
When I transferred high schools my senior year to go start for a hockey team at a different school, I was transferring from an all-guys school to a co-ed school, so my bi-ass was going fucking nuts. I lost my virginity that year. It was crazy.
You get horny through your butt?
Yep. That is actually a real thing. But anyways, what happened was I felt like I was finally coming into, like, my looks and stuff like that. And so some girls in the school, and it was a very small school, started having crushes on me, which is flattering because I had never had that level of popularity anywhere in my life. And one of the guys there got jealous, like a real life high school drama musical. The dude spread a completely fake rumor about me that I had chlamydia. Just a completely invented lie to try and get girls off my scent.
Yeah. Just as an emissary for the straight community, I think maybe the musical part might have been in your head.
Oh yeah, everybody was singing like up there. It might have just been mostly.
Yeah,
If it was me, it would have been cats because I had pussy on the mind all the time in high school.
Oh, for sure, dude. Who didn't, man? You stick your dick anywhere.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, I kind of still had some standards, but by God, I was a monster. I'm so happy that I don't go through the same things anymore that I used to get some ass because, like, used to, I could pick a girl up. She's like, hey, take me down the road. I want to fight this bitch. She's a weak-hearted whore and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, she sounds like she deserves it. And now I'm like.
I'm sorry, sidebar, dude. Where in the South are you from?
Kentucky.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, family's in Georgia, stuff in Mississippi. I caught the draw and then the type of girl that you're talking about, the one that wants to get an RC Cola at the gas station.
Mm-hmm. Pack of Marlboro Lights.
Goddamn
right. Is that what we call it? Getting RC Cola'd at the gas station?
Yep. It's a rough colonoscopy if you get the wrong one. They don't
also, you don't get to say we. This is a me and him thing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You're not one of us. You're inclusive everywhere else in the world, but the
when you were you took history in high school, they all just said that the North won.
Oh no, we don't talk about that.
You know what's crazy, Nathan?
Why the fuck don't we talk about it, man? It's so weird. Like when I was in high school, they took us on a field trip to Stone Mountain. You know what Stone Mountain is? It's like Mount Rushmore for the Confederacy.
What?
And it has all the Confederate generals on it. And they were like, these were great men. And we were like, what'd they do? And they're like, don't worry about it.
The South may rise again. Probably not, but
yeah.
I made a post about that.
It was bizarre. History class was bizarre. Like, they did some bad stuff. I'm like, what was it? And they're like, tune in next week.
You know, I want to secede from this conversation. On to geography now.
Before we continue, I want you to move on to your next question. I've never heard of this. I just Googled Mount Stone Confederate and the Smithsonian magazine's coming up. I didn't know this existed.
Oh, yeah, it's right next to Dolly World.
How big is this?
I mean, a little bit smaller than Dolly Parton's titties.
Yeah, Dolly Parton has a theme park next to it, and they do the 4th of July fireworks right over Stone Mountain every year.
That's funny.
Right? See, that shit still happens.
Dude, no way.
Pretty ridiculous, right?
Did you see that video I posted the other day? I was like, hey, I have a solution for all these Confederate statues and monuments that people are losing their minds over. Let's paint them rainbow colored and let Robert E. Fabulous lead a gay pride parade.
Hey, man.
That would be fun.
He didn't
play some dressed up.
He didn't get gangrene in his foot for you to decide his sexual preference posthumously, dude.
I think Robert E. Lee got gangrene in his foot so that I could decide what his sexual preference was historically. Because if people in the South are going to fool themselves so much into making a fucking mountain, a Mount Rushmore of the Confederate people, who lost?
Well, like we didn't all vote and build it, dude. Like just a couple people built it. Like when people group the South into a whole conglomerate, like that shit drives me nuts. Like when the South made that thing, like no, dude, a fucking couple dudes who had access to
fireworks over it every year.
Four people.
That blows my mind, dude. That is an insanity situation. And also, I know I'm not trying to group the entire South together. It's just the loudest people that you hear about.
I disagree. Have you ever been to Chicago?
Usually,
they don't
love the Confederacy or anything like that, but you don't see people in the North rocking Confederate flags. That is a purely Southern thing.
Oh, I thought you meant loud, like decibels.
No.
Yeah, I have actually never seen a Union flag fly anywhere.
It's just called an American flag, dude.
Yeah, it's called the American. That's what it is.
I'm still here, all right? Listen, I can't talk too loud about this stuff. Dude, we have a to the our best knowledge or Ken Ham's best knowledge, life size actual replica of the friggin' Ark here. I went to see it because I wanted to lay my eyes on the biggest waste of taxpayer money that I could in one just glance. But
the government made that?
Oh yeah. All paid for by taxes. Not the churches. Because they keep they don't pay no taxes.
I support that.
I mean, I'm going to be a church.
What, dude? We're gonna spend $3,000 on a toilet seat cover for the military, or are we gonna build an ark?
I feel like the armed people. The ark's got some use in a worst case scenario. I mean, technically, you could have written it off as like an emergency plan.
I feel like our military boys deserve better. Still, I'll give them that toilet seat 1,000 times versus that big just debacle.
I don't know. Winchester just got the contract for all the military sniper rifles, so we're gonna be in good hands, boys.
Oh shit! They changed.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! Oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's stolen valor shit. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, dude, don't even stress about it.
Are we not allowed to say that as civilians?
No, brave people aren't listening to this podcast. Like, we're fine.
Yeah.
I just say oy vey.
Yeah, no one says that shit.
Well, these are the live listeners. We get hundreds twice on Spotify.
They're going up, actually, still.
Sick.
All right, there you go. Anyways, we got another question. We got another question for you. If you had an OnlyFans back when it was good, but you weren't allowed to show any traditionally sexual part of your body, which non-traditionally sexual part of your body would be the highlight of your OnlyFans?
My mouth, because I don't know, man. It's not. I'd just be saying shit.
That's the South coming out of that pretty mouth.
I'd go, you know, the only haters route. I'd just do things that would make sense for how my face looks. I'd be like listening to Nickelback and taste testing Mountain Dew and shit.
Taste testing Mountain Dew mouth started here with Adam Smith.
My name's Nathan Lowe. I'm just using
he's,
my buddy
he's
Adam.
Nathan Lowe.
I know. It's just funny because his avatar is so nondescript, and that is the perfect nondescript name. So it pairs well together.
It works well because Adam Smith actually looks like an avatar from the movie.
I don't even know. Kinda, dude. If they had a man bun.
Holy shit!
They do, man. That's how they soul fuck their horses.
I am not often out of the loop, but shit, who is Adam Smith? Are you talking about
my best buddies? He owns Accidental Chaos, the best goddamn comedy club in West Hollywood.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we run mics Monday through Thursday, 9:30 to 2 a.m., and we do shows on Saturdays.
It's the place that I've told you about a million times, Keith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The place that I told you you got to go to when you come and visit.
Yeah,
all comedians get paid unless they're Paul.
Well, Paul does it out of a sense of service and duty.
And the $300 a month that they pay me to advertise it on every social media.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's a lie.
That's a lie. It doesn't happen. I just like him.
I think, I need to get somebody to pay me for something because I've got voices and all this stuff. Hey, I'm going to pitch myself. Do you need anybody who needs any voice work? I'm just kidding.
Okay. Oh my God! Can we watch your reel right now? Can we just talk about that for the rest of the podcast?
Well, yeah, I would love to hear about your reel and your voice acting reel.
I'm going to talk like Morgan Freeman the rest of this time. Then
it's fucking emote, dude.
it's a whole feeling, you know. How about this? If you could choose between being a ghost for the rest of eternity after you die, or not knowing whether heaven or hell is real, which one are you picking?
Well, I feel like, you know, devil you know versus the devil you don't. I'm going to go with the second one.
The second one is just life anyways.
Yeah. So
are you
I'm
talking about, are you
keep
talking
on
about,
living.
You're
not
going to
guarantee.
You're either a ghost when you die, or while you're alive, you don't know if heaven or hell exists?
Oh, no. Yeah. That's
I'm not
exactly.
going to fucking sixth sense myself. When I can just
holy shit. I see comedians.
Yep.
Okay. Where would you rather be homeless in? Like what state or like what city, what state? Where would you know, like your idea homeless place be? You can't say San Francisco. Philippines. That's a
Where'd you say, Nathan?
Philippines, just because I'd be on par. Like, I'd just be a citizen.
Just like everybody else. I'm blending.
That, yeah, just like Dominican Republic. And I don't work at the resort. Like, bam. Yeah, they
like, did it. He'd show up there homeless. I'm like, who the fuck's the rich guy?
Yeah, Tampa. Exactly. This guy's got two pair of Nikes. What the fuck?
Two pair of Nikes. They're not the same, but they're left and right shoes. So he's royalty.
Did he make those?
Yeah, I just anywhere where they send the t-shirts of whoever lost the Super Bowl. That's where I want to go.
Nigeria.
Is it consistent? Is it always Nigeria? Is it like Tom's shoes?
It's probably Lagos, Nigeria. Yeah, that. Then they like try to resell those through all their scams that they have. Do you know I learned how to say "fuck you" in Nigerian just because I figured
how
out that's
say
what.
It? How do you say it, Keith? Say it. I'm calling.
I got
I'm
that shit. I got that shit like typed right in my notes. I don't know.
I called can find out. You don't know how to say that in Nigerian. Go.
Put up a pecan.
That's not...
sure.
Babagui.
I believe you. Are you like an Italian Nigerian?
I don't like to, you know, confine myself to any race.
You're biracial?
I'm actually Native American and German and Irish. I look super white, so it's like suburban camo. Oh,
shit, you're the cause of every war.
Yeah, you're just called the winner.
you're called the winner with a spiritual tone.
No, no, we fucked all that out of them.
No participation trophies here.
So good for you. I'm Irish and Norwegian, so it's just, you know, pillaging and the other thing. We don't do that anymore, but it's all pillaging now.
One of the first things that that Nathan ever told me after I did my set and we were hanging out, because the coolest part about Accidental, other than being just an incredible venue, awesome crowd all the time, is that it's a little bit of a party mixed in there. And so I'm talking to Nathan, and he apologized to me for his Republican facial features. Because...
I heard you were bi, and I didn't know if you blogged or anything, so I just wanted to...
I got... Somebody told me I dressed like white privilege the other day, and I was like, bro, I just had a button-up shirt on, is the thing.
Yeah, you sound like a plumber, dude. Like, I get that.
I mean, I do a lot of crack has been around, but, you know, not I don't like, really.
Yeah, I had my southern accent beat out of me.
He sounds like a plumber. I sound like a butt plumber. I said it. Everyone was thinking it. I didn't want to.
I actually wasn't. That was the first time I haven't thought about a gay joke for you, actually.
Oh, you're welcome. I gotta keep you on your toes.
I'm good.
Without heels.
Yeah, okay.
Paul?
What is the biggest... This was the theme of the episode, dude, and it was... I just had these fucking readies. I'm sorry. What is the biggest difference? And this is my last question, because it's 3:53. By the way, before I say it, if anybody in the audience wants to ask Nathan Lowe, undercover as Adam Smith right now, the most ridiculous question that you can think of, now would be the time to do it. We're doing a hard cutoff at 4. So
Send
what's the
in.
Biggest difference between porn and your actual sex life?
Cameras.
What a flex!
My God, this guy throws a fuck, huh?
This dude is just like, I'm a gorilla in bed. Like, shut. That's too bad for you. What? The only difference?
I guess. I mean, you know, it's... I don't know. I think people really overthink sex, man. If you're a dude... there should be, you know, a 3-to-1 orgasm ratio. That's basic. If you're jerking
like
off,
trying to get into a frat party.
Yeah, well, think about it like this. Think about, like, you know, you're training for the Olympics or you're, you know, on a team or whatever. If you're jerking off and you only have 5 minutes to jerk off, you don't deserve to jerk off.
Nope, that's a challenge.
Like, you know, if you don't have an hour, you don't get to do it, man. It's about them. Because it's harder to make them do it, and guys get to come every time. So, you know, you do your due diligence.
Nope. You know,
I disagree
crazy?
Fully.
You know what's crazy? Not only do I agree with you, Nathan, the first time that I figured out that, like, I could actually pleasure a woman back when, you know, I was trying to have sex with them. back in the day, back in my
prime, like you were just throwing up in your mouth the whole time, just like
we're just poking at it.
No, I was just like, you know, are all humans like this? And that, and you know what? Sometimes you window shop, you eventually go into the shop, and you never leave. No, the something that I realized having sex with women was just do as much as I want. Because I wanted to do all the things that pleasured them in the first place. Like, go down on a girl. I wanted to do that. Last longer. I wanted to do that. Make sure that they do the 3-to-1 ratio. That's pretty accurate, dude. Try to do that. Try to hit the correct spot.
No, do the things that they like. So it's many fun. Fucking guys go into the bedroom. They're like, I know how to do it. Like, just this weird confidence where there's like, I figured it out. Like it, dude. You know, your clit. I imagine clitorises are a lot like thumbprints. It's just everyone's different. So just have a goddamn conversation with the person before you get started, and then you're coming in with the fucking cheat code, dude.
And not to mention, like, even if the conversation is awkward, we've talked about this before too. Even if the conversation is like a little bit awkward, they appreciate it. And if they say don't ask, well then whatever.
Just be better at talking.
Yeah.
Like, I've actually sat down and been like, hey, do you like to have your ass eaten? I mean, girls appreciate that.
I don't think so. You lead with the ass?
Because after that, there's not really much that you can't really, you know, work into it pretty easily.
I'm going to let you know a little secret, bud. No girl wants that. Like, literally none. They think that we want it, so they ask us. And we say yes, I think, because we were, you know, confused, and we think like, all right, fuck it, new hole. Like,
no, I want it.
No one wants it except for Paul, and like it's.
I don't know why. You know. It's this weird innate drive in me. Like, I like the beehole. Like, I just, there's nothing more inviting than that. Shut up, Keith. Anyway, you know, talking about the three to one ratio. No. That's too much. Not too much. I mean, I can't really help what I'm good at. But, you know, every time a girl gets off, it's like a whole orchestra. But, you know, guys, that we get a guitar solo. So we should get more.
It's not an orchestra if you ask questions, man. It's
so questions are cancer to religion, politics, and orgasms.
Not really. I mean, you know, God's omnipotent. You know, clitorises are singular.
Clitori.
It's like a handshake. It's like a conversation.
There's no way that only men are listening right now. Would love to have a female tune in and agree with me and Nathan, because we know that we're right here.
Hey, you want some females in here? Hey, okay. Stereo, I'm emotionally unavailable.
We're happy. If we pretend like we're all really happy, my exes will start texting me.
And we got some.
What's up, girls? You get the last question with Nathan. Before we start, I want to thank everybody for tuning into Cross Examination. This was the 11th episode that you got to tune into. So history being made. If we lose, we're going to get a mural built out of a mountain. Hopefully two people do that for us. And if you're just tuning in, feel free to listen to us on Spotify. It's called Cross Examination. Just look it up.
And I do the awesome service of cutting out all the bullshit, and I put music in too. I mean, if you guys want, I'll put a soundboard in. I'll make kazoo noises. I don't care. Listen.
If you put a zebra in right now, a zebra.
What does the zebra say?
You figure it out. You just offered.
So, oh, Christ. That's actually in line with my next question. Would you rather own a horse the size of a cat or a cat the size of a horse?
Oh, no, you can't. Cats can't get bigger. They kill us.
Agreed.
Exactly. Apex predators.
Like, the only reason cats haven't killed us is because they aren't big enough yet. Like, yeah, that's really it. So I think a cat-sized horse would just be adorable and something that I could accidentally kill later.
Oh, you're... I agree.
Why would you kill
said accidentally. Horse, like, I just get excited and try to ride it down a slide or something.
Shit, maybe need some glue.
Oh my god, it is really cute. So, dude, you would just go full Lemmy on it?
Whatever, man. Make a bit of stick glue.
You find yourself in a sticky situation.
Bro, it would... maze would sound like a mouse.
It's like people tell me, like, oh, my cat loves me. I'm like, your cat would kill you if it weighed 40 more pounds. It's just the ultimate gaslighter.
Are you just Googling, like, weird questions? Like, what? Would...
Oh, no. These are actually written down.
You thought out cat-sized horse or horse-sized cat. That came out of your head?
You want to hear fight school?
I'm sorry, what now?
We can't do fight school again. Fight school was a question that he asked that literally made my dad turn the podcast off. I said, "How'd you? Thanks for tuning in, Dad. How'd you like it?" And he says, "The fight school question made me turn it off." So now, just for infamy, we don't ask the fight school question.
Did we get any questions from the audience?
Not a one. Nobody gave a shit this time. But thanks everyone for tuning in.
Yeah, great! I've had a blast.
That was monotoned.
What are you talking about? You need more expression from me. I had a blast.
That was it. Okay. That's what I needed. Thank you so much.
That was better. If you could just act like you're trying to get on Prices right now, I'm the producer. If you could just say, I'm really excited about cross-examination. But, you know, just like put a,
Chaffel. Into it. Well, if you want to follow me, listeners, I'm at Nathan Loe, and there's an underscore under there. And then, before I hop off, I'd love to give a couple seconds of airtime to my AA sponsor, Adam Smith. He's right
What's
here.
Up, y'all? I've been right over Nathan's shoulder the whole time. It's a great podcast. Paul, what up, bro?
Hey, what's up, Adam? I'm so happy that you're sponsoring people in AA. I feel like you would be really good at that, just like motivationally wise.
It's, you know, it's, yeah, if you want to subscribe to the channel, it's $1,500 per every 15 minutes.
Yeah,
but then if you want to come to Axel on Chaos, it's $5 for 5 minutes Monday through Thursday. Other than that, yeah, just you know, it's kind of a mobile AA service. I'll drive to you. Actually, you have to come pick me up because usually I'm pretty drunk when I do these.
Do you accept food stamps?
But yeah, I'll do it at your house. You just have to come pick me up at my house, and then yeah, we can go to the park, we can go to the beach. You also have to bring me a 12-pack, and yeah, and I'll tell you all about it.
I think the only thing that could make Accidental Chaos even more the greatest place on the face of the planet is if, like, an hour before the beginning of every open mic or show, there was just an AA meeting, like, right there.
We have that. It's just mostly Adam reading his tweets.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, they probably do. Like, I feel like every comedy show is an impromptu AA meeting.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, it can't be like a slotted, like, AA meeting. Yeah. You gotta fucking write that shit.
Also, if you're in the LA area, tomorrow, show at Accidental Chaos tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon at 9 p.m.
Follow Nathan Lowe, that's Loe, on Instagram. Follow Accidental Chaos on Instagram, especially if you're in the LA area and you love stand-up comedy. And follow Adam.Smith. Now
and also, if y'all can do me a favor,
make sure to follow both of us too. Subscribe.
If you could DM my mother, that Janet Wu Smith, and just DM her and just say, "Hey, your son is hilarious and he's not an alcoholic." If you could just
that would be huge. If you could all do that.
Woo, that's at Wu.Smith. That's my mother's name.
I got one last
for cell agent.
One last request for before we go. Can I get everybody to give me a big, hey, fuck you, Kevin, you piece of shit.
Fuck you, Kevin, every time.
Kevin, I'm not going to let you determine how I hate you.
Exactly. There we go. I love it.
That was a deep hatred. I liked that.
That was good.
Oh, completely unsolicited, and I didn't even mean it a little bit. I'm having a hard time not thinking about you.
Good. Yeah, you hear that, Kevin? You piece of shit.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Nathan. Thanks for the surprise guest appearance, Adam. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Oh, yeah. Love you, Paul.
All right. Bye.
See you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Cheers.
Keith.
Yo. If you could go back in time to the worst date in the history of your life, what would you do differently? Go.
I would not let her give me that horrible, what her idea of a hand job was, where she just sit there and pinched on my balls and then had the audacity to look at me and be like, "You like that?" Yeah, I would skip that.
All right, you heard it here first, folks. That was Cross Examination, episode 11, featuring Nathan Lowe. I'm Paul Over.
And I'm Keith Burr talking about bad hand jobs. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Every Wednesday and Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. East Coast. Tune in or be square. If you did miss this, check us out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review. Subscribe to us if you haven't already. It supports the dream. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.